journey with me. Through most of your familiar verse of Scripture. And that's from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, and this wonderful verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, I need you to help me tonight. There's a crowd of people here that wants to hear from God, wants to hear from heaven. Let them receive in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody say amen, and you may be seated. We are a revival church. We believe in the move of God. We contend for revival. We contend for life. Jesus said, I'm the God of the living. I'm not the God of the dead. I've been thinking about several things, and maybe I'll get to it sooner. But when that thought come to me, that God is not negative, but positive at all. We don't talk about that. That comes from other mindsets about the things of God. But then I really begin to think about it. That in Him is life, in Him is joy, in Him is rest, in Him is peace. Am I right? If you want something other than those fruits of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit, you have to be carnal. You have to give yourself over to the things of the world and the flesh. And with that same thing, maybe I'll touch on this Sunday. With that same thinking, I was meditating in my office today and yesterday about preaching. It seems like I say it, every evangelist that we have to say it. But what we say is, we need revival. I'm going to preach to you tonight that we need what revival produces. There's a great work of God done in revival. I'm telling you, revivals have started great with large crowds. They started with minority number of people. Nothing really to get that excited about. But somewhere in that days of meeting, in that time of trusting God, looking to God, something comes out of that people. And we need it to come out of us. And you know what it produces? It produces the very thing that we say that we need revival from. You're going to get it in a minute. I began by telling you tonight, revival is a thing of your heart. There is a moving of God. There is a working of the Holy Spirit. But it all begins in your heart. You've got to love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your body, and all of your soul. Now, we say we need revival because we need this. But the fact is, if you have that in your heart, you have revival. You'll get it. You have revival in your life. And these things that we say we need revival for, they just really become the outcropping and the evidence that there's revival in the life. I'm not running around trying to be saved. I'm saved. I have Christ within. You have Christ within. If I have the Lord within me, I've got everything that He is. His Master. His Lord. His God. He's the healer. The Savior. The baptizer. If I have Him, I've already got what I say that I need. It's in the heart. That's where revival is. It's in the heart. And believers are drawn to those things that make revival in our lives. Let me say it this way. When you get drawn by the Spirit of God, close to the Christ, and Christ lives within you, was a Caiaphas that said, I've got a decrease that he may increase. There is an enlargement. You don't have everything yet. I don't have all of it yet. We're pressing towards that mark. There's only one thing that stands in the way of my heart being filled with the likeness and everything there is in Christ. He lets us know I will not share my love with another. You've got to love me with all your heart. You've got to love me with all your life. I'm preaching to you tonight that we're probably closer to revival than what we realize. The more I let Christ live in me, the more I have of Christ, the more I have the fruit and the gifts that go to make up what He is. He never stumbles. He never sleeps. He never takes a journey. His arm is not short. He's always weak, then by the way, that what I'm doing. That's the God that I'm talking about. But it's me. I'm the problem with revival. I'm the problem with revival. I let the world. I let something that's not of Christ take a greater position in my heart. There's a lot of things that have been for our attention. When we say that we do not have revival in the church, I don't know what this is. I'm not here tonight. I talked to her on the phone. That's what this is. I was talking to a man standing right down here in front of the altar many years ago. And he was grumpy. He said, there's just no revival in this place. This has been 40 years ago. I see there's no move of God in this place. We need revival. Brother Clark was standing there waiting to talk to me next. Brother Clark looked at him. And he said, I thought revival was an individual. If you don't have the revival, you will talk about yourself. But you don't talk about me. Sometimes we just invent in our walk with God by a lot of things. But there is nothing that can take the place of God having the precedent in your life. He's number one. He didn't throw you with another. Anything that tries to get my attention, tries to get my mind, my thought, my heart, my interest. Every one of us are people that have interest. Some people don't know the difference in their interest and God's interest. We want to go to the family reunion, we just pile up and go. They're always on Sunday because people can't take off of work during the week to go to family reunion. I tell you what, this is a larger and a better family than a lot of the family I can. The crooks, they've been in jail, they spent a lot of time in prison. I can come here and fellowship with you, and there's joy, grace, peace, comfort, commonality of love. I've seen some in my family, I love them, but I've seen arguments over which kind of weird to come to. When we come in here, the family of God. It's all that new wine. It's the Holy Ghost. We have more things that build for our intentions. And the church, for the most part, gets caught up in that same attitude, in that same spirit. I think there's anything wrong with family reunions. I just put that. But I think that there is something in the church that nothing can take its place. Nothing. There's nothing out there to love more than to love Christ. There's nothing to love, to have greater excitement in than in the things of the church. I can take it. People tonight are scattered here and there. They're involved in this, involved in that. And it's great and interesting. I'll quote your scripture. Where your treasure is where your heart will be. That's scripture. Where your treasure is. So I'm talking about it on the heart. I guess I'm talking as much about our treasure as in the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I know. I think I've told this before. years and years ago, I was in advancement, and they had just opened the estimate. Well, one day I decided, I went to a church, and I decided that I wanted to go to a ball game. And I've been to a lot of ball games, there's nothing wrong with that. One time when I was in St. Louis, Missouri, Willie Mays had a pop up, and that thing landed as far as you can meet to be about there, and I didn't even try to catch it, just, it was a baseball. I got over there in Houston, and I was excited. I'm at a ball game. I like ball games. I know you don't do that. But I like ball games. I'm sitting there in that stadium. I looked up at that big old roof. And I thought to myself, where is that going? It's that roof that I live on. What's going to happen to me? How do you stay there when you're at that ball game? And others have stayed there. But in that particular one, with that calling in my mind, where do you go and belong? Brother Clinton and used to always tell us, the places that you go, if it's not a place that would lead you closer to Christ, you need to think about why you're there. He needs to talk about gospel singing. He said, it's good to go to gospel singing if you go for entertainment. If you don't go for a spiritual blessing out of some of it. If you go for entertainment, that's fine. Be entertained. I'm talking tonight about the sincerity of our heart towards God. Is he first? Is he everything? Is he all? Sure he is. We must realize that the realities are to be found in God. That's where you find that which is real. When I was a boy, that had been a few years ago, in every Christian home that you went into, there was another problem. Only one life, what was it? For a single time. Only those things in the past of Christ were lost. There's a constant reminder. God says, our works are going to be burned up. You see, you're not saved by works. So, our works are going to be burned up. I've got piles of works higher than anyone else that I'm ashamed of. But when you come to the realization of what those things are, those come not from the things of God. God does not do anything with us or through us or to us or by us that is not his will. There's a lot of things that every one of us do, and we'll do in churches over time. That is not for the glory of God, but it's not a sin. It becomes a sin when that which is of our heart, we put more of it in the place of emphasis and importance than we do God. Those bracelets, people wear sometimes, WWT, what would God do? There's people that live by that. What would God do? Now, I only heard of this happening once, but the country that told the story, that there was a youth, some kind of a youth group, whatever. And when they heard that there were people that were slaves, they prayed, and they felt like it was the will of God for them to go witness to those slaves. The only way they could witness to them, they had to become a slave. So they sold their lives into slavery so they could witness. And they lived there. I don't know why I'm telling you all these crazy stories tonight. They told a story of a black man all those years ago. He said that black, this preacher, and that's when he rode horses and all. He rode a horse, and he came up on a fishing hole, and that was a black man fishing. He got off of his horse, he went over to the man, and he said, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. See, when Christ is first in your life, people are the most public and in the dark, because everything is Christ in his life. He witnessed to the man, and the Lord read the Quran and saw the story. The man never looked up. He just kept right on fishing, took the fish off the hook, bent the hook, whatever, just kept right on fishing. After he got there, he witnessed to the man, he just departed, he went away. One day, the preacher, wherever he was, at home, somebody knocked on the door. He went to the door, and there was another black person. They said, "We would like for you to come down and tell us, all of us, the story that you told whenever this man said." He said, "I went down, went through a rainstorm, got out in the open," and he said, "It was packed. It was packed with people." And so I began to talk to him about Jesus. "You need the Lord. What God would do in their lives." And he said, "I gave an altar call, and not one person," this is John with the Christian, "not one person raised their hand for salvation. Not one person prayed. Not one person responded." And he looked around and didn't see the man that he had talked to, and they asked where he was. He said, "There was that sick. He's at home." And he began to talk to somebody else about what was happening. He said, "Look, I've told you the greatest story in the world of a Savior, of one that died for you." He said, "It was there that I was, that the greatest sermon I could preach to my life, I preached to a man at a fish. Because I said, 'Sir, you don't understand.' He came back and told us the story you just told us, and every one of us repented. Every one of us got right with God. Every one of us did right with God." He said, "The greatest sermon I ever preached in my life was for a man fishing at a fishing boat." You never know. You never know who's hungry. You never know who's receptive. You never know the good that you're going to do when you do the will of Him that sent us. He said, "I will supply you every need." He's the only one that has this supply. So, I'm asking you tonight, why is it that when we come to church, it's like we don't know what we're there for? We don't know what we're supposed to do? This is all about the heart. That's the way it's at. If you love God with all of your heart, there's nothing else that really matters. We have given our lives to God. Let me tell you something. I'm talking about not how to get a revival, but what is in a revival. You love God. We used to use these examples. We haven't in a long time. That a song leader in church anymore is like a glorified cheerleader. Everybody stand up, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up, everybody stand up. Everybody clap your hands, everybody clap your hands. Everybody lift your hands, everybody lift your hands. But there is a worship that is to be found in revival that you have a hard time getting it started, not getting it started. Somebody said, "Which comes first?" Tonight I'm voting to pick revival. Can you put in my life? God is not mad at me tonight. I don't have any controversy with God. I don't know of anything as far as sin tonight that I'm guilty of. Forgive and repent. So, why can't that equate to a move of God in the spirit of revival? It can if we know this one thing. What revival is, it's in your life. If you don't know how fast you can run around the building, I know people when we were more emotional than we are now. I know people on Sunday night, they jump, lose the pocket pins out of their hair, lose their shoes, show up with God. Monday, they don't even know if they're saved or not. That's not what I'm talking about. Let me ask you, put it this way. If you were going to seek rebellion. I'm not talking about that being sin. We said there's no sin. Where would you go? What would you do? What would you expect? What would you hope to see? Where would it be? In the Bible, God said there is one thing that separates between you and God, and that is sin. The devil can't come between you and God. A man, a sinner, a temptation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's what Paul said. Not height, depth, powers, principalities. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. What is it David said that they share in the king? Sometimes it is sin. I look across this room tonight. Look across this room. If someone would ask me, and I mean it from all of my heart, with all of my heart, out of all the people that you're looking at, who do you think that will be sin in your life? Have you seen it? No. What is it? What is it? What is it? How about physical? Do I believe that sin in your life? No. How many? Seth, I do not kill. In this room, knowing what I know, and I don't know sometimes as much as you know, but I don't see any sin in this place. Somebody said, well, somebody's not taking sin. Then you get to pick what sin you want to commit. Does that sound like the possibility of revival? If sin is the only thing that can separate between you and God. Somebody said, well, I did pretty good until I went to start the line for today. And you would try not to keep it. Sin. We need to know what sin is and what it isn't. And some of you do need to know you can be angry and sin. But don't forget that Jesus led him out of the temple with whip. I'm not talking about where there's no sin. If there's no sin, my God, repent. If there's sin in the camp, repent. If there's something between you and God, repent. That's what the church needs, is a cleansing. But I want to ask you, what will Christ do different in your life than he's doing right now in your life? Never leave you, never forsake you. What kind of a work do you think you could do for Christ to deserve a cleansing that he's not already providing? Am I getting it out of all? The fact is that sin is not only washed away one time when you repent, but if you don't sin, if you don't fall back into sin, if you don't start practicing sin, Romans says, sin shall not have dominion over you. The point is that the blood of Jesus, at the moment that he cleanses you, that blood never leaves. Right? He is an ever-present help in our time of need. Every one of us know what it is to have to repent. To sin against God. We know what that is. I don't want to have to be a mess out of it. We know what it is. God is angry with a sinner every day. That's John. There is, but there is a life to be lived. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave me himself. You know, when there is a move of God, the first thing you ever want to do is repent. Right? And make sure it's right with you. But if you would ask God, we all repent. We repent of the need to move from goodness. But what did you repent of? What did you do? I'm trying to show you the power of the blood. Not of his forgiving when you went to hell, but the power of the blood to keep you. Not only to have that initial offering. And my question is, if God so loves me that he provides that kind of a life for me, where's the revival? Where's the revival? If you understand what I'm saying, we should be a revived people. Right? Let me touch on a few of the things. The Bible talks about our being reconciled to God, and we'll just leave that there. Only to say this, if our heart, I just read about this yesterday, if our heart, if my heart is in love with God, then I am reconciled to God. Because the one thing you're going to do is to work your life to make sure that sin is displayed to you. You're going to work your life. Every one of us do that. That thought that comes in your mind, that says, I'm going to know what to use it as an excuse. That thought that comes in your mind that says, you know, why don't you do that pastor with a fast food? But you watch it. You guard it. You guard your life. Do you hear me? You guard your life. I don't know why I'm saying this in the culture of the time. But scripture tells you that there comes a time, a place that is most likely when he has no control over his mind. We're talking about scripture. So there comes a place where a woman has no control over her body. You know that there's no place in your body. You know the thing to do is guard that you never get to this place. Thank you. You guard. I asked my wife one time, I said, do you know when men are coming home to the church? So what do you do? She said, you make it in your back like this. I said, you know why? Who was it? That I said, I can't stand against God. I can't stand against God. And the sin that you commit is not against an individual, yet they're involved. David said, after sin with Bathsheba, when the thing was coming out, he said, God, against you, and you only have I sinned. That's the way it is with anything. So we guard, we watch. Why? Because we are so in love with Jesus. Our heart is so fixed on Christ that everything else is paled by comparison. Nothing else really matters. Nothing else really matters. We know this, that not only does God do this work in us, but God does restore us. I said, God does restore us. The way you're raised has a lot to do with your relationship with God. You've heard me tell how strict I was raised. But it's like Brother Murray told me one time, he said, when I started to church, if you want Christians, you're I read one time where a man said that it was a sin to ride a bicycle. I told Brother Clinton in those stories, Timmy said, someone will tell you one thing. We know that. But the devil would have a hard time putting a mark of the beast on those people. They're so committed. Not a friend at school, not a personal job, not somebody in the neighborhood. In Tennis Roy, I believe that that is the greatest. Since sin is the only thing that separates between me and God, I believe that if my heart is right before God, where's my pen to come from? We used to sing a song around here so long ago. The song said, my heart is free. Oh God, on me. My eyes are new. On things like from worldly yoke. Praise God, I'm free. My heart is before me with joy and love. He said, is that a possibility? Can you live like that? Oh, yes, you know why? Because you don't live that kind of life as a set of rules. You live that life because that life is in you. And that life is lived out through you. No works, no boasts, no brag. I am what I am. Because of the Christian. I am what I am because what is the Bible said about the devil when he sees us? The devil when he receives us? The devil is going to fight you. The devil is going to challenge you. The devil is going to fight you as what he does. That's what he did to Jesus. But Jesus said, because I overcome, and I'm in you, you can overcome us. Because I overcome, you overcome. I'm praying for one of our leaders. I'm not contradicting my message. You know what I'm saying. I don't want to say too much. But I have a person come to me, tell me, I just tell you this before church. Tell me about an experience that they have had. And we have a church. So that's what they're doing. But I pray, preaching these messages and what you need to pray. Having this prayer meeting, just talk in the middle of the church. Call a prayer meeting. Call a prayer meeting. I don't know if it's ever out of order to pray. But I pray that God will make my heart so pure, so clean before you. And your heart so clean, so pure before you. But when we come in, that spirit of energy, and God said, I will inhabit the presence of my people, that we begin immediately to praise, worship God, make him feel that. God will go on. But you know what comes out of the Lord? Souls are saved. Souls are saved in the Lord. Lives are changed. Families are being put back together. And everyone's again, preaching that camp meeting in General Council of Church of God in Alabama. I appreciate that. Peace and love you. And in this time of the church, I don't think my life will be with me, but I can't be with you. On this Saturday, church, you tell me to that come a man and his wife walking down the aisle. As he was coming down the aisle, he started taking his clothes off. And he got somebody else with him, taking his clothes off. He got his wife, and he pushed her out of the door. And he said, we are going to pray for the most trusting God in Christ. Meeting the man and the wife. Spirit of God put that marriage together. I went back later and said, Lord, still loving God. Wonderful things happen when God is allowed to have his way. I don't want to be the hindrance. I don't want to be the one that God has put in the heart of his face. That's a matter of I've got to get that right before I can do something through it. My heart is set to God. I want God. I want with Him. But I don't have money. We can't say that we've got to do it. Because that's what it is. We can say with Him.